Well, good morning, virtual parish. In today's gospel, we encounter two discouraged and broken men making their way to Emmaus. They're described as downcast. That is to say, their eyes are cast to the ground. Their heads are hung low. Their Lord, their Messiah, has been killed. The one they thought would finally liberate Israel from other rulers. And some women had claimed that he was alive. But these disciples have discredited those reports, are now leaving, fleeing Jerusalem. It's late in the afternoon, and the sun is sinking low. They're also moving in the wrong direction, west, away from Jerusalem, away from the resurrection. They have their backs to the Lord, to the rising in the east. The men cannot see or understand God's plan. They cannot see that he must be alive, just as they were told. They are quite blind as to the glorious things that have happened in the hours before. In this, they are much like us, who also struggle to see and understand that we have already won the victory. That too easily our eyes are cast downward in depression rather than upward in faith. As easily can be the case right now during this time of trial we are in. How will the Lord grant them, give them vision? How will he reorient them, turn them in the right direction? How will he enable them to see his risen glory? How will he encourage them to look up from their downward focus and behold new life? And if you're prepared to see it, the Lord will celebrate Holy Mass with them. Then in the context of a sacred meal we call the Mass, he will open their eyes. They will recognize him. They will see glory and new life. Then note that this entire gospel passage, not just the last part of it, is a form of a Mass. There is a gathering, a penitential rite, a liturgy of the word, intercessory prayers, a liturgy of the Eucharist, and a dismissal. In this manner, a whole Mass, they have their eyes open to him, to glory. And they go and fulfill the psalm, the taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Let us examine this Mass, which opens their eyes. Ponder how we also will once again eventually taste and see in every Mass when we return here to our church. As the curtain rises on this Mass of the Gospel, with the two disciples having gathered together on a journey. Now that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. We've already discussed that they're in the midst of a very serious struggle and are downcast. We know one of them by name, Cleopas. Who is the other, though? If you're prepared to accept it, the other is you. And so they have gathered. And this is what we do at Mass, at the preliminary act of every Mass. We who are pilgrims on a journey through life come together on our journey. And so it happens for these disciples that Jesus joins them, but they do not recognize him yet. That our Lord walks with us too. It's essential to acknowledge by faith when we gather together at Mass that Jesus is with us. Now, for many of us, although Jesus is present, we don't recognize him. Yet he is no less among us than he was present for those two disciples all of those years ago who failed to recognize him. The fact that these disciples are gathered is already the beginning of the solution. Mass has begun. Help is on the way. The two disciples seem troubled, and the Lord inquires with them the source of their distress. What are you discussing as you walk along? In effect, the Lord invites them to speak with him about what is troubling them. It may also be a gentle rebuke from the Lord. That the two of them walking away from Jerusalem, away from the site of the resurrection, that clearly their sorrow and distress are governing their behavior. That even though they've already heard the good news, the evidence of Jesus' resurrection from the women, from the other apostles, they seem hopeless, turned away from this good news. And so thus the Lord engages them in a kind of gentle penitential rite, engages them about their negativity. So too for us at Mass. At the penitential rite is a moment when the celebrant, who is standing in the person of Christ, invites us to lay down our burdens and sins before the Lord, who alone can heal us. That we too often enter the presence of God looking downcast, carrying many burdens and sins. That like these disciples, we may be walking in the wrong direction. In effect, the Lord says to us, what are you thinking about? What are you doing as you walk along? Where are you going with your life? That the Lord asks them to articulate their struggles. This calling to mind of struggles for them that day and for us in the penitential rite is the first step to healing, to the recovery of sight. Again, we see this in the story about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Mass that is so familiar to us. And in response to their concerns and struggles, the Lord breaks open the Word of God, the Scriptures. Then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interprets to them what referred to him in all the Scriptures. That not only does the Lord refer to the Scriptures, he interprets them for them. Hence, the word is not merely read. There is a homily, an explanation, an application of the Scriptures to the men's lives. The homily must have been a good one, for the disciples' later remark, were our hearts not burning within us, while he spoke to us on the way and opened the Scriptures to us. So too for us at Mass. That whatever struggles we may have brought, the Lord bids us to listen to his word as the Scriptures are proclaimed. And then the homeless, the priest, who is standing in the person of Christ, interprets, applies the word to our lives. And although the Lord works through a weak human agent, me, I am weak, I am a sinner, that our Lord can write straight with crooked lines. Then notice, too, that although the disciples do not yet fully see, their downcast attitude is gone. Their hearts are now on fire. That during this time, we need to pray to God that it will be so for us when we come back to Mass every week. That we hear from God that the victory is already ours in Christ Jesus. That after the homily, we usually make prayers and requests of Christ. We do this based on the hope that provided by his word, that he lives, loves us, is able to help us. So it is that we see these two disciples request Christ, stay with us. For it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. Isn't that not what we do when we say in so many words, stay with us, Lord? For sometimes it is dark in our lives. Shadows are growing long. Stay with us, Lord, with those we love, that we will not be alone in the dark. In our darkest hours, be a light to us, O Lord. That indeed it is already getting brighter, for we are already more than halfway through Mass. And Christ does stay with them. And then comes the lines that no Catholic can miss. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. That yes, it is Mass for sure. All the basic actions of the Eucharist are present there. He took, blessed, broke, and gave. That they are the same actions that take place at the Last Supper. That we repeat each and every Mass. That later the disciples refer back to this moment as the breaking of the bread, a clear biblical reference to the Holy Eucharist. That the words of Mass immediately come to mind. While they were at supper, he took the bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you. That a fascinating thing then occurs. That with that, their eyes were open. They immediately recognized him. And he vanished before their sight. It's a very act of consecration that opens up their eyes. Is that not what Holy Communion does for us? Are we not to learn to recognize Christ by the very mysteries we celebrate? Are we not to taste and see? That the liturgy and the sacraments are not mere rituals. They are physical encounters with our Lord, with Jesus Christ, not virtual reality. That through our repeated celebration of the Holy Mysteries, our eyes are increasingly opened if we are faithful. Because the sacraments are efficacious signs. They are doing something to us. They are changing us. They are affecting us. That we learn to see and hear Christ in the liturgy, to experience his mystery in us. The fact that Jesus vanishes from their sight teaches us that he is no longer seen with the eyes of the flesh, but with the eyes of faith and the eyes of the heart. That although he is gone from our earthly, fleshly, carnal sight, he is now seen in the sacrament of the altar, experienced in the liturgy, in the other sacraments. The Mass has reached its pinnacle for these two disciples and for us. They have tasted and now they see. I consider these two men who began this gospel quite downcast. Their hearts are on fire that now they see. The Lord has celebrated Mass in order to get them to this point of faith, to change their attitude. So too for us, the Lord celebrates Mass in order to set our hearts on fire, to open our eyes to the glory that awaits us, that has been promised to us, that we need to taste in order to see. And not able to contain their joy or hide their experience, the two disciples run back the 7 miles. To Jerusalem, to tell the 11 apostles, the other disciples, what has happened, how they have encountered our risen Lord in the breaking of the bread. That they want, they must speak of Christ that they have encountered, what he has said, what he has done. Then note that this liturgy has reoriented them. They are now heading back east. They are heading back towards the risen Son of God. Back to the resurrection. How about us? At the end of every Mass, the priest or the deacon goes and says, "Go forth, the Mass is ended." That this does not mean we're done, go home, have a nice day. It means go into the world. Bring Christ to others that you meet out in the world. Tell them what you have seen, what you have heard of our Lord. What you have experienced, to share with others the joy and hope the Lord has given us of his great victory. Then you notice that part of the word mission is contained in the word dismissal, that we are being commissioned, sent on a mission to announce Christ to others. That is what we are about as baptized Christians. To spread out the good news of our Lord. To tell others that we have a God who loves us. Who has saved us from sin. Who still is with us. Acting in our lives. Who desires us to be with him forever in heaven.